Chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. We're actually going to begin in Matthew chapter 4. We'll read primarily from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23 will be the first text. All right, let's all stand, please. I plan on preaching. I have 5 sermons ready for at least 5, maybe 6 sermons on written, which, folks, maybe that means nothing to you, but that takes a lot of time and effort on worship. But I'm going to step aside for this week, at least this week. I want to preach on it. And by the way, this is a very simple subject. If you're here this morning and you think I'm preaching to you, you have to understand, what are the chances of you being here? Have you ever asked your... Now, some folks are here every service. But, folks, there's a lot of folks that are here just once in a while. So if this sounds like it's to you, may I say kindly, it is to you. It's not mean. It actually breaks my heart to even have to preach it. But I'm going to preach on... I'm going to connect some things that I know you haven't connected. They're very simple things that something makes a lot of matter to me. Verse 23, this almost is repeated in chapter 9. It says, and Jesus went about, and the key word is that little went about. It's only found 6 times in the New Testament. It just means, you know, he went about his business. It was just what Jesus did. Look at me, friend. I got to see Pastor Coach's growing up place this week. My wife and I spent 3 days in Jefferson, Wisconsin. We went over to the farm that he grew up on. He is a campesino. He's an old farm boy. Can I ask you a question? If you go to a farm that has dairy cattle, do you know what you're going to be doing in the morning? Do you know what you're going to be doing at night? Milking the cows, morning and night. You do both times. Folks, it's just what you do. That's what this phrase means. So read it with me. And Jesus went about. He just did what Jesus did. Verse 23, all of Galilee. And then it gives you what exactly he was doing. So if you found Jesus on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday, any week of his 3.5 years ministry, this is what he was doing. Teaching in all their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, the gospel of how do you get into the kingdom, the new birth? How do you live like you're part of the kingdom? When will you see the kingdom? All of those types of teaching that's in Matthew. So he went about, this was his, what he did, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I'm going to read the next 2 verses for context. It says, his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought into him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with demons, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis. Those are the 10 Greek cities in the far north. And from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan, meaning modern-day Jordan, across the Jordan River. Chapter 9. Now, for all of you that are listening, the only reason I'm preaching this today is the word juxtaposition. When 2 things are mentioned together, so I want you to get what's mentioned together. Because the whole sermon really revolves around not one idea or the other idea. It's that they're mentioned together. All right, let's read the last 2 miracles in this passage. Verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe you that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yes, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightway or immediately charged them or commanded them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. He couldn't help but talk about it. Verse 32, and as they went out, those two blind men, behold, somebody, brought to him a dumb man. Dumb doesn't mean, you know, couldn't speak, okay? Not dumb. A dumb man. Do we still say deaf and dumb, or is that no longer polite? I don't know. But that was what we grew up on. You know, you were deaf and dumb. You couldn't hear, you couldn't speak. Not being mean. That's all it's saying. The man couldn't speak. And he was possessed of a demon. Verse 33. And when the demon was cast out, the dumb, this man that couldn't speak, spoke. And the multitude did what? And here is the phrase, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. All the way back to Elijah and Elijah, this has never been done. But the Pharisees said, He cast out demons through the prince of the demons. Are you getting juxtaposition? Now you get the final juxtaposition. By the way, same actions, same miracle. Some people say, it's never been done before. On the other side, some people said, well, he did it through a demon or the Satan. But that's not the juxtaposition. The juxtaposition is the next phrase. What did Jesus do? And Jesus went about. I'm going to paraphrase it. Look at me. He went about and kept going about his business. So whether it was, you're the greatest we've ever seen, you're Satan, he just went about his business. He just, and that's the Greek word. It means it's an imperfect tense, and he was just going about his business, keeping on preaching, teaching, healing. He just went about his business. Please look at me. You'll never understand the sermon until you understand I'm connecting the highest praise, the greatest criticism, and what was Jesus' response? Just went about his business. Kept doing what he was doing, teaching in all their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. Why? Because he was the Messiah. Here's the sermon this morning, the title. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. I'm quoting from a sermon that was preached in this church my first year here when Chuck Ells was ordained, and Dr. Brain spoke on the subject of the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. No matter what. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time. Lord, how easy is it for things to distract us, to disorient us, to cause us to get fixated on silliness and the main things get left behind. Regardless of praise, regardless of the worst possible negativity, he just went about his business, did what he always did. Help us to hear this morning, I ask, in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I thought I turned it on. I had it on. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. I don't know what we call this concept today. I have heard it called SOPs, your standard operating procedure. Look up here. No matter what's happening, you're always fixated on your standard operating procedure. Or I've heard it called your modus operandi. You're just, you know what the person's going to be doing. Friend, there has to be something in us by the grace of God that if I see you today, 20 years ago, or 20 years in the future, this is what I know. The sun is shining, or it's raining, or it's snowing, or it's clear skies, or it's a three-day weekend, or it's not a weekend. No matter what, you keep the main thing the main thing. There's something about you that just goes about your business. That's the whole sermon this morning. Last Sunday night was a beautiful Sunday night. Some of you didn't come back. That's your business. It was a beautiful Sunday night because we had a visitor. And that visitor came Sunday night. And that evening, last Sunday night, actually started almost exactly 7 years ago. When that same young lady came into this church on a Sunday morning, found out she was from the great state of Missouri. Some of you call it Missouri. I either call it Missouri or Misery, whichever. I was born in the great state of Misery. She showed up at church. That young lady was named Jordan Ginter. She was a young lady. She was nice, and I'm being precise, and I'm speaking from my feelings about her, not yours. First thing I noticed was she was tall, she was young, she was nice, and she was my kind of person, a little bit nerdy. She told me, or us, within a week or two, she was in medical school down in North Chicago. And she was going to be part of our church as much as she could be, but she would have rotations, and she did in other parts of Chicago and places. She had another church she went to somewhere in Chicago because she wasn't here all the time. So last Sunday night started 7 years before. 7 years before, she had graduated from some sort of a pre-med degree. She came to the school in North Chicago, and 4 years later, she graduated. 3 years ago, she graduated from medical school, and she moved to Kansas City. And after Kansas City, she stayed there for 3 years. Last Sunday night, she met with us, and I asked her, "Have you finished your residency?" Here was her words. She said, "Yes, I have finished my residency, and I have my first day of practicing medicine Tuesday." That girl used to sit over here. You say, "Why do you care about that?" The main thing is to keep the main thing. A conversation from 3 years before that, 10 years ago, right over here in 208, I used to ask kids, I still do occasionally, I would ask them, "Please tell me what you want to do with your life." And one young lady, she was a blabbered mouth person. She liked to think about herself, talk about herself, and wanted to know how she felt about everything. She said, "Pastor Warren, I want to be a pediatrician. And I'm not always nice. I actually try to be nice. I'm not a mean person in person. I have a hard time when people don't hear reality." So I looked at her and I said, "Well, what is it going to take for you to become a pediatrician?" And she kind of did this. It's that blank look on the face. Like, well, if you want to be a pediatrician, this is Pastor Warren speaking very quickly, but I probably said it the same way. If you want to be a pediatrician, you know all the classes that Mrs. Hall teaches? Physics, chemistry, algebra 2, whatever the Lord knows what's above algebra 2, those should be pretty easy for you. I can still remember her face going, it's like, what do you think a doctor is? Then I said, then you need to graduate from here with good grades and go get into some sort of a pre-med degree. 4 years. So 18 in 4 years is? So you're 22. Then I said, after you get from pre-med, then you need to go to med school. And med school is 4 years. So it's 18 to 22, 22 to 26. And you have to do a residency. If it's a normal residency outside of surgeries and special surgical things, normally it's 3 years. Some of them can be 4, 5, 6 and further. So I said, bottom line, and a pediatrician's normal. If you want to be a pediatrician, here's my summation to this young lady. I said, Mrs. Hall's classes, you should have taken of all of them, and they should have been reasonably easy. Now, by the way, you think I'm being mean. If Angie's here, we got a young man back there that's gone through a pre-med program. Are you good at math? Be honest, Satish. You better be good at math because your mother and dad's here. Folks, you don't go through med school because, you know, you think it's cool to be a doctor. Friends, I loved Jordan graduating from medical school, then from her residency, and she's now practicing in northern Kansas City, Missouri. You say, why do I love it? Because the main thing is to keep the main thing. How many people have I met that just can't do that? Friend, I grew up on a farm. We're not a dairy farm. 280 acres of hills. We had 30 to 40 cattle. We would usually have two pigs. We would have chickens, and we had one milk cow. I never one day woke up at 5:30 in the morning thinking, I don't want to get out of bed. The cow has to get milk whether you want to milk the cow or not. I got over all the angst of most people as a kid. Why, Tim? You just got to do it. It's what you do in the morning. It's what you do at night. Tim Kowak and I are so similar in personality. It's because we came from the same background. I don't even understand people that get depressed. I'm depressed. I don't know if I want to do this. I mean, you have people that they don't know if they want to come to this church next week. They don't know if they want to be married next week. They don't. It's like, huh? Who are you? For me, it's like, get up and get moving. Now, I'll share some ideas. And by the way, these are painful. Don't think these aren't painful, friend. These are very painful. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I'm going to say the four reasons we don't keep the main thing the main thing. Number one, some never seem to find the main thing. When you watch a church over time, you know, by the way, look at me. I always know who's going to fail because they never can find the main thing. So look at me. From my lovely Lourdes over here to Atong over here and everybody in between. Folks, Pastor Warren can almost always predict failure because some folks just can't figure out the main thing. You say, oh, the main thing's coming to church. I haven't said that. Actually, the main thing is following Christ. Actually, the main thing is this. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So guess what his disciples did? They forsook everything and they followed him. Some folks never find the main thing. So when you read with me again, please. Matthew 9:35. Please read with me. Get the simplicity of this. In the middle of all the miracles, in the middle of the preaching and teaching, there's something very just routine, marching orders, SOP, main thing. In the middle of all of this, it simply says, and Jesus went about. And folks, if I paraphrase that, it's just like he just went about his business. What was his business? Well, he was the Messiah, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing. That was his business. Obviously, we're not the Messiah. But friends, there's a simplicity in Christ. You know, I look at this text and it's something beautiful. He also says he went about all the cities and villages. Just so whether he was in Jerusalem, whether he was in Capernaum, whether or not he was in Nazareth, whether he was in a small city or a little backwoods village or out on a farm or out on a hillside, Jesus always did the main things. Sadly, some folks never seem to find the main things. Please look at me. Should I be talking to people that don't read the Bible that have been in church for 30 years? Please, wake up. Look at me. Should I be telling you to read the Bible after 30 years? Isn't the main thing the main thing? How long do you have to get people to do the simple things? Your Christian life, here it is. Reading Scripture, meditating on Scripture, praying, praising God, giving thanks to God, assembling and fellowshipping one with another in church services, singing, giving, witnessing. There's a half a dozen, maybe 10 things. I mean, they're the things you've heard since day one. Friends, some people can't keep the main thing, because they never find the main thing. It's like they're always stumbling. Paul says at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. Listen, my course. Your job is not my job. My job is not your job, but you have a course. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. The path God set before me. The main thing is the main thing. Seems to be simple. I have kept the faith. It says of David in Acts 13:36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, keeping the main thing the main thing. Folks, I learned this from many people. I learned how to work from my father. My father never one time sat down and taught me how to work. How did he teach me how to work? By working, of course. He always worked. He always worked doubles. You say, why did he work doubles? I didn't know at the time. I thought he liked to work. No, he needed the money to take care of the kids. Folks, I saw Dad do it. I learned how to work from my father. I learned how to work from the nearest neighbor, Clarence Grismire, and on around the road, Ralph Walkoff, and down over the holler, an old guy, 80 years old. I picked up hay with this guy for a week. He was 80. He could outdo me as a teenager. He was 80. Emil Plummer. I mean, I just saw these guys work. Friend, I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to still be struggling to keep the main things, when I've seen it. We had a guy in our church, St. Louis. He wasn't my favorite guy, but I loved to be around the guy. I learned from him. His name was Ray Brown. Ray Brown was just a simple country boy from northern Arkansas. He was so simple that in 1943, he decided, because his farm life wasn't good, he decided to sell his farm and move his family to St. Louis. He made a huge mistake. When he was on the farm, he didn't have to go into the war, but the moment he moved off that farm, they showed up on his doorstep saying, you are going into this man's army. But I learned from you say, what did you learn from Ray Brown? Ray Brown went off to a little place right after D-Day, and he spent over 100 days on the front line of the Battle of the Bulge. For all of you that know what that means, you know those are the days, they say it was the worst recorded winter in European history, at least since the 1300s. 100 days he was on the front lines, living in snow and frozen ground, seeing people get killed by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. That was Ray Brown. Ray Brown then came back, picked up right where he left. He got a job at the railroad. I can see he didn't brag. That wasn't his personality. I remember talking to him. Where did you work? What did you do? He said, I worked at the railroad, and this is Ray Brown. By the way, he never got promoted. He was not a superstar. Ray Brown worked at the railroad for 37 years. He was never late one single day. He missed one day of work because there was a snowstorm in St. Louis and the whole city was shut down. That was his testimony. 37 years. Look at me, friend. Some folks can never get to the main thing. And all I do is bump into you, and I know. I don't know if I get angry or if I should weep when I find people that just can't do the simplicity of making the main thing the main thing. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is who I am. Now, I pastored for 8 years in St. Louis. 7 of those, we only had one associate pastor, Kirk Mellon. Kirk and Pastor Kwok are very simpler. Similar. He was from Washington, Missouri, from a farm. Kirk's a good guy. Kirk pastored. After that, Kirk was with me that whole period of time. Then he pastored for, I think, 14 or 15 years in Maine. And then he moved back to be with his mom and dad as they were getting older, which was sad because his dad died before he got back. Here's the story. Kirk pastors somewhere north in St. Charles County, Missouri now. St. Louis County, right north of St. Charles. I was talking to Kirk 6 months ago, a year ago. Kirk said, "You wouldn't believe what happened this week." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Some guy came into the church, 70s, 80s. Now remember, I was pastor in St. Louis 26 years ago. Got that? Ray Brown, 26 years ago, was in his upper 80s. He said somebody came into the church with his wife. They were older, 70s or so, maybe 80s. He says they came in and he says, "Boy, I looked at the guy and I thought, that guy looks familiar." I said, "I don't think I've met him, but he looks familiar." And came to the church and he said, "I didn't get to talk to him." The guy came back, he and his wife, they came back, they joined the church. And he says, "I kept wondering, why does he look so familiar?" Until I talked to the guy. Boy, we're really distracted. We've had 12 people go in and out. By the way, are you listening this morning? Kirk said, "I couldn't figure out who this guy was because he reminded me of somebody. It was Ray Brown's son. Same guy." Look at me, friend. I can't do... There are people in this room I can point. Or you have family members I can point. You have never got it. I don't know what to do. 3 years, 5 years, 20 years. I can beg God. I can plead with you. But you don't get it. You never get the main thing to be the main thing. Just the simplicity. You get up. You spend time with God. That runs your life. What do? You just poke around. Day after day, year after year, decade after decade. You never get the main thing. How can I help you? If you can't wake up and get a hold of simple biblical truths, I'm a Christian, first and foremost. The Word of God. Reading it, meditating, praying. I don't know how to help people. I think probably most of them are unsaved. You say, "You're angry." Do you not know? I'm looking around at people that have disappeared to other places that have been bitter for 15 years. It's like, how do you stay bitter for 15 years? Isn't there a God? Isn't there scripture? Sometimes it's sinfulness. Now, this is ugly. There's a whole group of Lake County Baptist people. Probably none of them are here this morning. Their life is spent on silliness. If there's a 3-day weekend, they're 3 days gone. 8, 10, 12 times of the year. They need a vacation when they get back from the vacation they just had. My problem isn't their vacation. Please look up here. My problem is not your vacation. My problem is, who are you on that vacation? All of a sudden, I find out that person doesn't go to church. They haven't been in church in decades when they're on vacation. They don't read the Bible. You see, Jesus, wherever he was, whatever was happening, guess what he was like? Same person, same things. That's what makes the difference. You say, "Pastor, we're going to Europe." Wonderful. Praise the Lord. If God gives you a vacation to Europe, go for it. Are you not the same person when you go there? Don't you read the Bible? Don't you pray? Don't you meditate? Don't you at least, I don't sing out loud because that scares people, but I sing myself. Are you not the same person? Here it is. Regardless of whatever happened, Jesus went about doing what Jesus did. I can predict your success or failure on that one idea. And this morning, it's time to get it. I'm tired of running into people that have been here for decades and haven't gotten it. It's not that you're smart or dumb. It's you don't get the simple stuff. Look at me. It didn't make any difference. if the old man you're looking at wanted to stay for sports when I was a kid. Oh, I never was big into sports. I didn't like basketball. I wasn't good at baseball. I could hit. I could catch, but I couldn't run and I couldn't throw. For whatever reason, I went out for tennis. God only knows. Quit laughing. Hold on. There's a point to this. Hey, when I got home from playing tennis, remember, high school was 19 miles away through the country, 30-minute drive. I got home at 8 o'clock from school. The cow still needed milking. See, our problem is you think if I have a week off, I sleep. If you're on vacation, you'd be a zero. No, I'm the same boring guy if I'm on vacation as I am any other time. I'm boring at home. I'm boring there. I learned it as a kid. It's called keeping the main thing. Sometimes it's sinfulness. Sometimes it's silliness. Did you all read this quote? Did you read this quote? Nowadays, people know the price of everything and the value of nothing. Look at me in the eyes. So you know the price of gasoline from here to northern Wisconsin, but you don't know the value of meditation. Something is missing in your soul. Somewhere around 1992 or 3, I believe Jim DeWar was still a member of this church up until 94. I called Jim DeWar, which we talk a lot more now because it's free now, more or less. It was expensive then. But we would talk once or twice a year in those days. And I called Jim up. He was a member here at the time. It might have been in 91, somewhere in there. I'm pastoring in St. Louis. And let me just back up for one second. Here's Pastor Warren and my wife's connection with Lake County. So you know, the church was started in 1974. My wife came to teach her in 1977 in the fall. You say, how old was she? Zero. She came here in the fall, graduated from Bob Jones. Now, Mrs. Hall had already started 2 years earlier. So now you're going to do the math. Okay. I came here in December of 1977, and I was a member here until May of 1981. So we have connections that go back to 1977, 44, 45 years. Y'all got that? From May of 81 until April of 96, 15 years of my life, I was away from Lake County, though I kept contact. You know, with friends, and DeWars was one of them, Mike sometimes. And we visited here a few times. But I'm just keeping up with people. Just like if I wasn't here for a month and I would say, how is so-and-so? I thought when I came here this morning, I wanted to know how Ezra's dad was doing. I haven't asked Ezra. I'll ask you after the service. I just wanted to know. So I said, Jim, probably asked how Mike and Pam are. I already knew the answer. Fine. I ask about another couple. This is DeWar's language. Do you understand this happened 30 years ago? DeWar said this, same as they always were. Bad. Hear me. Some people never seem to get the main thing. Some of you won't get it this morning. You don't even know it's important. You wonder why you just spin your wheels all the time. Just never get the main things. Never get what's important. Never get the serious things. And by the way, if you don't ever get the simple things, who milks the cow? Who takes care of business? Say, I'm on vacation. By the way, glad, go on vacation. You should go on vacation. But do you know, I know this, if Mike and Pam go on vacation, hello? Mike and Pam are still Mike and Pam. Some other folks in our church aren't Mike and Pam when they go on vacation. They're not even Christian. Well, I'm going to move to the second one. I want you to turn your Bibles, and forgive me for quoting this in church. This verse, turn your Bibles to Genesis 49. I'm going to freely confess this is not a nice verse. Friends, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Some folks never seem to find the main thing. That's the first category. They never sound like Jesus. He just went about his business. He just did what he always did. He was always teaching, preaching, and healing. That's what he came to do. There's just something about it. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Just always doing the same things. Can I ask you a question? Do you think I read? So you think if I go on vacation, I don't read? Jenny? I read more on vacation. It's freedom to read. Folks, be who you are. Get the main stuff. It's not just with your relationship with the Lord. It's also those things of child rearing, marriage. These things just got to be part of you. There's a second problem. I said number one. Here are the four reasons we don't keep the main thing the main thing. Number one is some folks never seem to get the main thing. Number two, some just cannot maintain the main thing. They start down the path. I hear it from people. Yeah, I'm going to read the Bible this year. 2 days later, it's the Bible's out the window. We're back to TV. They just can't maintain. The whole point of Jesus is Jesus went about, meaning it was the pattern of his life. It was who he was. Now, I'm not trying to make you Jesus or me Jesus. I want us to see that in Christ, there is this normalcy, this regular activities that focus us, that make us. Genesis 49:4. By the way, if I was to say the worst verse to quote in a church service, this is it. Speaking of Reuben, the Lord says through Moses, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Recently, and I'm going to talk about my friend Mike Hall today, intentionally. Recently, he and I had a conversation that just came up. It wasn't planned. It wasn't mean. And Mike said something to me. He said, I'm worried about so-and-so. By the way, I'm not giving away any secrets because none of you could figure out who I'm talking about. But he said something. Now, listen to me. Mike's not perfect. That's the reason he has Pam. But listen to me. How long do you think Mike has been here? Let me ask you a second question. How many failures do you think he's seen? I wish I could take you back in the 70s, and I have to be very careful. I would like to put one Mike Hall on one side and one other guy named Mike, not being Mike Rock. I'm going to call him Mike Blowhard. And I'd like you to compare the two men in the last 40 years. What you see from Mike Hall is not perfection, but what you see, he and Pam, embarrassingly, just are about the same thing every day. Let me ask you, have they ever had disappointments? Same people, just... Some people just can't stick with it. They're unstable as... Now, the other Mike had an ego problem. He thought he was the center of the universe. Blowhard would be an understatement. I couldn't stand to be around him over about 5 seconds because I can't stand those kind of people. He was full of himself. He was a braggart. He was a hotshot. There's folks in my family on one side like this, and I do not talk to them. First of all, I don't have anything to brag about. I'm going to be really ugly. This guy here has seen too much. You start seeing... They just can't get it, or they can't keep it. For 5 minutes, they're on the path, but then, you know, then it's this, and then it's this, and then it's this, and then they get back to the path, and then it's this. And after a while, as a pastor or as a Christian, you're just getting a headache. Do you know the people that do well as Christians? people that can keep the main thing. Just don't forget, I'm talking about the Bible. Jesus went about just taking care of business, doing what he had to do, doing what he was supposed to do. I would encourage you by saying this, friend. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Get it? Keep it. It should be said of you, as the scripture says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. There ought to be something in you that just gets this. Can I tell you this? What I like about Jordan Ginter? I don't know if she's the smartest person I've met in this church. But there was something in her. By the way, her dad's a colonel in the Army, what do you call it? National Guard, I think. I guarantee you her dad, she got it from dad and mom. And what is she? Just 10 years from now? There's just something about keeping the main thing the main thing. Let me ask you this morning before we go any further, do you have it? Or when you go on vacation, you don't go to church, you don't spend time with God, you know, otherwise when you're here, everything's good, but folks, I don't even know what to make of people. Let's go to the third concept. Now we're going to do this. We're going to go to the juxtaposition of ideas. Because there's a third reason people don't keep the main thing the main thing. If you would, please. Verse 34. Remember, these are right together. Read them together. Matthew 9, 34. And the Pharisees said, by the way, he had just performed a miracle of making two men that were blind see, and he had just performed a miracle of a man who could not speak, could now speak. And the Pharisee said, yeah, he cast out demons through the prince of demons. I would say to you this, some never seem to get it. Secondly, some just cannot keep it. Thirdly, some lose the main thing because of pain. Or may I say it this way, some kind of pain. Friends, here's Jesus. Jesus walks in. He has done unbelievable miracles. He has, and by the way, chapter 8 and chapter 9 is miracle after miracle after miracle. I preach through them. You can read back just over and over. And as he's saying, doing these wonderful things, somebody comes along and, we could use different language, stabs him. Yeah, you're doing this through Satan, prince of the demons. Pain. Pain comes from lots of sources. Pain can come from criticism. Pain can come from hurt. Pain can come from disappointments. And friends, let's be real, pain can come from failure. I fear when we fail. So you just healed two blind men. You healed a demon-possessed man that could not speak. And juxtaposed to that was criticism, gossip, lies, half-truths, slander, hate, negativity, bitterness. Some folks always, though, cover all of this up with that layer of religion. I'm sure when I get to Matthew 18, we'll talk about forgiveness again. I am now 64 years old. I have not, please look at me. At 64 years old, I have still not had a person that was bitter ever come forward to me and say, Pastor, I need to forgive. Now, I've had people with small problems forgive. Please look at me. The bitter people at Lake County not only are still bitter, they became more bitter when I preached on it. God, by the way, I'm going to ask you a question. Is God forgiven you? Yes or no? And you're telling me you can't forgive others. Something is wrong. Why is it? You say, Pastor Warren, somebody did me wrong 38 years ago. Who hasn't done people wrong? Friend, there are many things. I can remember when I surrendered to go into the pastorate. My dad thought I was retarded. Because my dad was not a Christian, but number two, he understood what people do to pastors. I didn't think about that. I honestly never thought people would look me right in the eye and lie to me. I never thought people would gather a group together. And by the way, they have a feeling. They can come into this room and know who is upset. And they're like magnets. They draw those people to them. And they have a common enemy. I never expected people. I am not preaching anything this morning for me. I'm preaching for you. It could be, friends, that I die today. But I'm still interested in your Christian life tomorrow. I'm interested in you keeping the main thing. Why? Because the main thing is to keep the main thing. Just get in the walk. Walk with the Lord. Just follow the Lord. Do the things necessary. Work on marriage. Work on child rearing. Move forward. But it's very difficult to keep the main thing the main thing when somebody comes alongside and... Lies, half-truths, gossip, criticism, slander, hate, negativity, bitterness. I'm going to read some thoughts in a moment, but I want to say this before I do. I originally decided to preach this sermon because of this point. I don't know if it's the most important point. Please look at me. Do you know there's a family that's not coming this morning because the wife is borderline insane, number one? You say who? Actually, I could speak to three or four people. Borderline insane and cannot even in her mind connect reality. Other people, we're out to get her. Get what? By the way, and then the husband has to live with that stuff. Then I know other cases where the wife has to live with the husband's. He's still doing what 30 years later? Friends, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be hurt. Do you know this? May I say this to all of you? And the people that will hurt you the most will be your children. Amber, not you. You're the good girl in the family. You and Kayla. The bad girl is Mom. I shouldn't have said that, but I did anyhow. I'm going to read something for you that I wrote down. By the way, please hear me. This isn't even about me. I am not impervious to pain, but I can shake most pain off most of the time. I wrote this down. You will suffer pain. Pain for your weaknesses. Pain for your lack of being omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Pain sometimes even for your good. I look at some of our teachers and realize, I remember we had a family that every one of their children were failing. By the way, they were failing because Mama was a, I'll just make it clean. Mama kept them up to 3 in the morning eating and watching television, couldn't get them out of bed. And I remember when the husband came to me and said, well, your teachers are all bad. So here you are, teachers, you're giving your heart and you have somebody come alongside and their kid stayed up till 3 in the morning, but it's your fault. By the way, people are going to hurt you. We're going to be hurt for many reasons. The worst hurt, though, always comes when you give your best and you get pain. So here's Jesus. The humanity of Christ, he has healed someone miraculously. Well, yeah, he did it through Satan. But he just kept going about his business. Kept doing what he did what he did. Why? You just got to keep moving forward. The main thing is keep the main thing the main thing. You will suffer pain. Sometimes pain for your very best. Sometimes pain when you least expect it. Sometimes pain from someone covering up for their own stuff. And friends, I don't want to say this, but you're going to find... Has anyone not noticed I don't guilt parents? There's parents in this room that have loved their children, and their children as adults are jerks. That's on whom? That's on whom? Of course. By the way, put it on them. Don't blame yourself. Don't feel shame because your children have been idiots unless you didn't follow Scripture. And I'm not talking about perfection. There's no perfection required. Let me tell you a quick story, and I'll get to the last point. By the way, preach the whole sermon for point 3 and 4. Let me repeat it. The main thing is to keep the main thing. Some people never find the main thing. Some people just can't keep the main thing. Some people lose the main thing because of they're hurt. And you're going to get hurt. Friends, if you're a sensitive person, God bless you. People are going to hurt you. Sometimes intentionally. A friend of mine, no one in this room knows the person. My wife has met he and his wife. He pastored in another state, I think for about 8 years. He had an older man in his church. His first year there, he's a brand new pastor, highly educated guy, very smart, got an earned doctorate, good guy, his wife's sweet, good family. He says, my first year there, you're a new pastor. He says, a guy in the church walks in, comes into his office. You know, we were thinking, oh, we're going to have fellowship. He says, you know, I wasn't expecting this. The guy came in, sat down across from me, opened up a tablet, and he told him, literally told him. Do you understand? Literally. He said, my gift is correcting the pastor. I know that verse is in the Bible someplace. By the way, friends, you don't have to have that gift. I have a daughter. Thank you very much. I'm not exaggerating. He had like a book. And he just started. This went on for 3 hours. Now, my friend is nice. I'm not nice. If you want to be there around me, you're in the wrong church. Go find some other place. I sometimes get criticism, and usually I deserve it. But he was criticizing things like, you wore the wrong suit that day. Your wife's heels were inappropriate. You weren't nice enough to some. And he had a book. The guy said after the 3 hours, he was devastated for 2 weeks. But you haven't heard the story. He did this 2 or 3 times a year. For 3 hours, he would keep detailed records of weird stuff, like your socks didn't match your pants. Do you understand? By the way, do you know what I told this guy? When the first time he told me, I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, number one, when he calls for his next encouraging time, tell him you're not welcome. Of course, I'd have told him that the first time. I'm open for criticism, but my goodness. So you're going to criticize because we have the seats spread out, but they're not spread out enough. Friends, I'm going to close, but I want you to look at Matthew 9:35 again, would you please? Because there's another problem. There are 4 reasons why we don't keep the main thing the main thing. Are you ready? They're simple. They're all together. By the way, some folks never find the main thing. You understand? I don't know why it is, Pastor Kwok. You've never run into this. Some people just have a difficult time doing the same things. They're just not good at. When we were up with Jenny's family, it was hilarious. I'm talking to your cousin and her son, and they're both saying the same things. Well, this is what they say. We're farmers. And for some of you, you're like, what's a farmer? That doesn't mean you're special, but if you're a farmer in the United States, you know how to get out of bed and do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Your cousin said that, the lady, what's her name? Karen. And her son? Dan. They both said it to me at separate occasions. Why? Because I'm a farmer. I get it. You say, did you like milking the cow? Oh, yeah. Milking the cow is fun 2 times a year. In the middle of the summer, when the horse flies are so bad, and I can't even tell you what's on the tail of that cow. Other than when it hits you in the face, it's just really pleasant. And you think to yourself, Lord, I can't wait to go milk the cow. The other times when it's below zero, and you're out there on a stool, and you're sitting down and the milk is almost freezing as you're milking the cow. Oh, by the way, somebody still has to got to milk the cow. I want to do the last juxtaposition. If pain has slain its thousands, praise has slain its tens of thousands. Look, if you would, please, at verse 35 again. And Jesus did what? Just went about. What was it? What did he go about doing? Teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. There's just a rhythm. Now look back at verse 26. I'll go back just a little bit further. It says, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Verse 31, it says, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Folks, some folks never find. They just can't find the main thing. Some folks can't keep it. Some folks lose it because of pain. Please, friend, if you're here suffering pain because you have failed, please look at me. I don't want you to keep failing, but we're all going to suffer pain. But I would say this in closing, more lose the main thing because of praise. Now, you haven't seen the juxtaposition yet. Verse 33. And when the devil, it's verse 33. And when the devil or the demon was cast out, this man that couldn't speak spoke. And the multitude did what? Marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. I believe this, more lose the main thing because of praise. Turn your Bibles quickly, Proverbs 25. We're going to look at three verses quickly. I'm going to leave these for your own meditation. I'm going to speak to Pastor Kowak and Sparky. Everybody else can listen. Sparky, you know I love you, so never would I say anything publicly about you. This is Pastor Warren's language. In the past 15 years, puffed some students. And almost none of those students have succeeded for Christ. Now, it's not your fault, not your fault, not anybody's fault. Maybe you don't even know who I'm talking about. I can think of three or four or five. We puffed them. We gave them opportunity. We told them how wonderful they are. And it's a big zero goose egg for success. By the way, pain has slain its thousands. Success its tens of thousands. Most of us don't deal well with success. Now, you still haven't seen the entire juxtaposition because Jesus healed two blind men and one person who couldn't hear. He healed them. One group is saying this, we have never seen this in Israel. About the same miracles that the other people say, it was demons. I had a guy on Facebook tell me this week, I have never heard a preacher that thinks like you do. You're the best I've ever heard. Take a breather. You know how much that impressed me? He's not in this church. So I must not have been that good. But I can tell you this, 15 years ago, maybe longer, his wife was sitting about where my good daughter is seated, and he was sick. There was another couple over here. At the end of the same sermon, I preached on Ephesians 5:19, speaking of yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. At the same sermon, the same day, his wife told him that's the best sermon I ever heard. This couple met me at the back and said, if you keep preaching like that, we're leaving. Now you're understanding, if your mind is awake, juxtaposition of what? Jesus did what? Just went about doing what Jesus did. The main thing is to keep the main thing. Whether or not people stab you, or whether or not people say, oh, you're so wonderful, By the way, tomorrow I'll be about the same as I was yesterday and about the same I am today because I have learned the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. If you don't get it, you'll never succeed. Proverbs 25, please. 25, verse 27. I do not have time to comment on these much. I'm going to give you these, if you might, for your own meditation. Proverbs 25, 27 says this, it is not good to eat much honey. If you don't ever eat honey, think the first piece of baklava is good, the second piece is not as good, and the third piece you are in a coma. If you don't understand that, think of pecan pie. Pecan pie, the first piece, you know you have gone to heaven. By the third piece, you have gone to heaven. It's not good to eat much honey. You know, honey is wonderful, a little bit. It's wonderful. He says, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. And there's some debate about what this is a proverbial, but that's close enough. Chapter 27, please. These are for your consideration and meditation, just for you. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. And then we come to the hard verse, 27, 21. Maybe you have meditated on these. 27, 21. As the fining pot for silver, and the furnace for gold, I'm thinking, folks, the way you purify silver and the way you purify gold is probably going to have something to do with heat and that sort of thing. Then the Bible says, so is a man or a woman to his praise. Friends, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Some folks just never get it. By the way, look at me. I already know this morning when I leave here, there's going to be three or four people. Next week, if you're back, you're in the same place you have been, and you'll be here 20 years from now, because you just can't get the main thing. And there is no going forward without the main thing. Some folks can't keep the main thing, unstable as water. Some folks lose the main thing because of pain. Please hear me, friend. You don't understand how I weep with people in this room whose children are being stupid. You don't know that I weep for people that used to be here whose children are stupid. You think I'm happy? We spend all of this time and prayer and effort. I want you and your family to succeed. Failure is painful, but for every person that loses it over failure, more lose it because of praise, because there's something about praise. So I'm going to read this and I'm done. Praise. We all like it. We all need it to some degree. One man said, I've heard this stated different ways, I can live for 6 months on a good compliment. By the way, all of us like to be thought of as nice and, you know, we like all of it. But the hardest thing for me is to tell somebody something negative. But the problem is we can begin to like praise a little too much. Then we can't do without it. And then we must have it. And then in some roundabout ways, we start praising ourselves. Folks, I don't have time to preach this morning on this. They call it the humble brag, and there are people that are experts at saying how humble they are in a bragging way. Worst of all, we praise ourselves by putting others down because we are so consumed with praise. And we must be praised as better than other people. My friend, all I want is this. Matthew 9:35, the only purpose of the message. I saw the juxtaposition of praise, pain, and then realized this beautiful little phrase. Jesus just kept on going about what Jesus always did. And friend, that is the key to the Christian life. It's not about seeking praise or praising yourself or getting wrapped up into it. It's not about getting hurt because that's going to happen. It's simply getting hurt, getting praised. None of that matters. I got something I got to do. The main thing. Just keep the main thing. Let's pray. Father, bless your word this morning. How many of us know the price of everything and the value of nothing? How many of us can live a lifetime blaming everybody, blaming everything, talking about everything, but we just can't get back to the simple ideas? Father, thank you for this precious text.